Okay, good morning. We are continuing Simane Of Tahor. We're in Pei Bet. We're going to finish animals today. We'll start fish today or next time. Okay, so we're with the Ofot. Here, let's. Okay, so where we left off, the question is, do you need to have a Mesoret, a Kabbalah, from the previous generations, and just all the way back, to know that it's a kosher bird? So just interesting, even though we have simanim, the Gemara, just interesting to point out, the Gemara in Chulin, Samech Bet, Amun Bet, has a case of, they thought it was a kosher bird, but then after they started eating it, they realized it wasn't, that it was actually dares. So that's the problem with not having a Masoret. And Rashi, I don't know if he's the first source, but Rashi points, spells out, therefore, on the page, that we need to have a Masoret. But again, that's only by birds. Okay. And interesting to point out, the Rosh discusses it. I believe it was written when he, Tshuva, when he was written in Spain. I'm not 100% sure.
Yes, in Spain.
Okay.
I know exactly which Tshuva you're about to say.
Right. So he writes, when it comes to Masoret, not all places are the same. Not all rabbis are the same. Not all communities are the same. So you have to know who your Masorah comes from. Other postgames say the same thing. And there he writes that the Jews in from Ashkenaz, if he's referring to Germany maybe, so there they had the greatest, one of the greatest Masorahs, the Yerusha, all the way from the Churban, by Rishon, correct? And right, so that's where maybe they went straight to Europe. And the second bite was, okay. Anyways. And he says, the Jew, the Masorah in Sarfat is the best. So anyways, that's just, this is the Rosh. But it's on. It's quoted over here. Okay. Okay. So let's read Dalit inside. And, okay, all, what we ended up last time and today, it's all going to come together, sort of. Because we'll see there's quite difference of opinions a little bit and little nuances. Every sefer you read is going to have a little bit of a different twist on it. Dalet. Mi, Seif Dalet. Mi shehu mi mako. Shenoagin iser ba'of echad. Okay, so now we're talking, the Dalet is talking about an individual. Seif Hay is going to be talking about a city, a community, a country, whatever. So one guy, he's traveling. And in his place, it's noingam iser. The minag is that this particular bird they established, they don't know if it's kosher or they know it's treif, and they made it aser. Mipnei en lahem mesoret. So they don't have a mesoret on this case. Okay, so they said it's aser. V'halach l'makom shiyesh lahem bo mesoret. And now he goes to another city. Just out of ease, we'll go to Yemen, right? They usually have more mesorahs and more things than anywhere else. Wherever you go, and you see over there, everyone's eating it. They have a Masorah tradition. Yachol le'ochlo b'makom shehalach sham. It's 100% mutter. Everyone's doing it, right? So you can also do it. You can eat it there as well. V'afilu daito l'achso. Even if you're planning to go back, right? You're just visiting there for a week or two, and you're going to go back. While you're there, you're allowed to. V'im, right? Normally we say, one, there's a Ferish Halacha, it's in the Mishnah. Normally we say, in Psachim, once you have a minhag that it's Aser, so for you, it's always Aser, even if you go to somewhere else. Right? If you have a minhag that's Aser for you to do something, just because you travel to another place where everyone's doing it, doesn't make it mutter for you. Obviously, if you move there, then maybe it is. But here we're talking about you going to visit. So we don't say that over here, because it's not that they know for sure it's aser. It's not that they paskind it's mamish aser. It's only mitzad minhag because they don't know. They don't have a masorah. They also look at the bird and think it's probably kosher, but they don't have a masorah. So therefore, they hold that the minhag is you don't eat it. So since their whole minhag is a chumrah based on a safek because they lack the Kabbalah, so then we don't say now you have to also be strict. You can now do it there. You can follow them, even though you're where you live, you wouldn't. V'im, and then the same, it goes this way. V'im yatza mimakom sheish lahem mesoret. Now, you eat it all the time. The minhag where you come from, you're coming from Yemen, you eat it. V'halach l'makom she'en lahem masoret. But then you go to a place where they're not eating it. Mutter la'ochlo. You are allowed to eat it because you hold it's 100% mutter. And for them, it's not eser be'etzim. It's just they don't know better. And so that's what they accepted as their minag. In Madanei Shulchan, he points out, though, you have to eat it in private so that you don't make a whole thing to do about it. But I don't know if it could be others say it's okay even. I don't know. Okay. Let's see. Okay, fine.
It's the other way around. It has a masorah that is awesome. It goes in place.
So as far as I know, it's mutter. As far as I know, it's mutter unless you know it's aser. Okay. So how do you know?
He actually has a masorah that's badai aser.
Not clear. It's hard to know exactly why they said it's aser, but okay. Okay. Now let's read hey inside. And then we'll recap. Hey. In Dalet, when you read it, there's no machloket, right? It's one opinion? Okay. When you read the Beis Yosef and you see the Rosh and the Rashba, you actually see it seems to be it's the exact same machloket. And that the Rosh, again, they don't elaborate so much. The Rosh elaborates more. The Tur doesn't even have a machloket. It's all mutter. And they don't get into these little nuances because it's all based on we don't know. But anyways, unless you do know. But okay. Anyways, you're going to see the Rosh says it doesn't matter if you're an individual or a city. It's mutter. The Rosh says he's also not machalik between individual and a city, and by the and he just says efshar that it's aser. Okay, he doesn't say it's 100% aser. He says efshar that it's aser, but that's how it's understood lemaisa, it's aser. So let's read hey, and you'll understand. Im sha'ar makomos. Now you have an entire city, a whole community, a country. She'en lahem asoret. They don't have a tradition for this particular bird, right? We're talking about birds. Yecholim le'echlo al smach makom sheish lehem mesoret. So can you now, but you then you call up Yemen and you find out everyone's eating this bird in Yemen. So can you now eat it? Yesh mi she'oser. So there's an opinion that says it's aser. So that's basically taken from the Rashba. And the Shulchan Aruch clearly holds there's a machloket between the Rosh and the Rashba, and that's how many learn. Yesh mi shematir. And some say, no, it's 100% mutter, because the assumption is, again, I don't know, the assumption is, there's no masorah, and they don't know for sure, and maybe you're going to come up to mix up, or maybe you're going to come to mix up with a different animal, with a different bird, and they just decided to make it aser. But you're finding out from someone who has a real bona fide masara that it's good. Okay, presumably if, like you said, perhaps if you definitely had 100% masara that you know this is one of the 24 dores, so then maybe it's still aser for you.
We saw something similar about Hedl.
That would make
you
sense.
You had in Austria and the other countries where they were those who were matir Hedl that the others held there as aser doros. And
then
you go to their place.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so show me again after. And then next week I'll just give him our makom. Fine. Find it from you after. Thank you. V'yesh misha matir. So this is the Rosh who says it's matir, who's not machalik between individuals and the ear, the city. V'yesh lachush ledivrei ha'oseh. So the Shulchan Aruch, by a yachid, he says straight out matir. But by the tzibor, he's machmer, and he says, Yesh lachush, whatever that means. It seems to be clearly mi'ikar adin. He paskins like the Rosh and the Tur, who say it's for sure no problem, and the Rashba, who says efshar, it's a problem. Sounds like he's machmer for a city, lechatchila, yesh lachush, whatever, how exactly you understand. And some explain, what's the difference between an individual in the city. Why would the Shulchan Aruch be machalek? Because by a city, because Mikar didn't hold this mutter, but it's not going to be so machmer for an individual. For a whole city, it's a big thing, and one individual here and there, you don't have to be so strict. Another opinion is when you're traveling for a week, you know, I don't know if I should say this, a famous expression, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Because when you're on vacation, it's just, you're on vacation. But that's what the poskim say. It's just it's a one-time thing. It's not kavua. To change for kavua, that's a much bigger issue, and we're not going to allow. It's more of a minag issue. Okay, very good. Okay, now the Shach, interesting enough, he actually learns that there's actually no machlokas whatsoever between the Rosh and the Rashba. He argues on the Beis Yosef completely, and he says they're talking about different situations. One is when it's more, you can see it inside, it's summarizing the Be'er Heitev, but it's basically it depends why they were machmer. Anyway, so that's it's a whole discussion among the poskim. We're not going to do a full recap on different understandings of these two seifim, but we see that's the okay. Yeah, and the Shach, he also agrees with the halacha though. So he does say that an individual who travels is allowed to be mekel, but for an entire city, so then it depends on what's the reason why they were the metzias, kind of. What's the metzias of why the city was oser? Okay, did they paskin it was oser? It was just they weren't sure, they didn't know. Okay. Let's see. Sorry, one second. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Wait, I think we're finished. Fine. So I just want to give a little quick thing about, so happens to be a Thanksgiving in America today. It just worked out like that. Okay, so do you need a masorah? So the question is, what about eating turkey? So what's the heter for turkey? So the real question is, how can it be mutter? Because as far as I know, there's never been a real masoret whatsoever for turkey anywhere. So therefore, how did it all of a sudden become mutter?
Spending the question, because it's local to the United States.
Right.
Or North America, and indigenous.
Right. When Jews showed up in America.
Yeah.
We have
turkey. We've gone back to buy it.
You have turkey in England. Okay, I don't know. Now, maybe there's a Masoret somewhere, but not that I'm familiar.
Because it was brought afterwards.
That's fine.
Because it was brought afterwards.
How was there a Masoret from the times of...
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right, so if it started out in America, so how? Okay. So I'm just... I don't know if it's in perfect order. I'm just going to give a short list of why it might be a mutter, or why it became mutter. Because, first of all of Klal Yisrael were nohag to eat it. That doesn't exactly answer the question so much, but once Klal Yisrael began eating turkey and it became minag Yisrael to eat it, that itself, and again, it has the simanim of tahara as far as we know, then that itself makes it mutter. Minag Yisrael is koveya da halacha. Many times the Gemara says, v'chein amadavar, go ser puk chazeh maya amadavar, go see what the Jews are doing. And that is koveya dalacha, and either that creates discussion with Rav Gilman. Either that creates the masoret for now, or this is an exception where you don't need masoret. That depends how you want to look at it. Okay. Another reason why it might be a mutter, and is because it looks like a chicken, and it's close enough. Again, that doesn't usually fly. No pun intended for these halachas of birds. However. In this case,
turkeys can't fly.
But it could be that's how the minhag started. you know, when the first Jews arrived to America and they said, what do we do with this? I guess if they said, well, looks like a chicken. It's a little more wild. It's not quite as tame. They're on vacation when they first got there. Very good. So anyways, that could be how it started. Again, halakhically, I don't know if it really is similar enough to a chicken, but that is to make it okay. But that is one of the reasons that's given. Anyways, and that's how the minhag probably started. Also, in I don't know, it has a similar name, at least in Hebrew. They call it Tarnagol Hodu. So, I don't know. Okay. Here's another reasoning. The Gemara says in Bechoros, the Zayin, that kosher and non-kosher birds, they cannot interbreed. They cannot reproduce together. So if you have two animals and one of them could breed, one of them you know for sure is kosher. The other one you don't know. So you could decide if the other one's kosher by seeing if they can breed together. And chickens and turkeys can crossbreed. So that's, again, I don't know for sure. I think it says it, to look again, I think it says it by animals, but I think that some want to extend that to birds as well, to show that it's, if you know chicken is kosher and these can breed, that's how you know it's kosher. Okay. I saw something, I don't know if this is this is not very strong proof, but someone said there's only 24 that are treif, right? All the rest are kosher. And so someone said probably those 24 were all in the Middle East and turkeys weren't. So again, I don't know if that counts, but it's an interesting chap, very good. The Arugot HaBosem says you only, right. The Arugot HaBosem says you only need a mesoret. Again, this is novel, but he says, you only need a masoret, and I'm assuming it's a das yachid. You only need a masora if you look at the animal and you meet it, and you just know, you look at it for a few days, a few weeks, to see how it behaves. But something that you know for years, and you would see that it's not dores, so then you no longer need a masora as long as it has the simanim, and you've been watching it for so long that it's not. Anyways, as far as I know, all Jews, including the Chazon Ish, would eat turkey, except for the Shalah. Apparently he saw one time that it was Dores, and therefore it didn't. And so many of his family members in the Mishpachat Horetz, many of them do not eat turkey because of the Shalah. But otherwise, all Jews eat turkey. Okay, let's just, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know,
Moshe clearly didn't say it's also to eat turkey. That's for sure.
Right.
Meaning out being a turkey.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Right. Celebrating Thanksgiving is a different topic that I'll get to later, maybe. Okay. I just want to mention the animal zebu. Zebu in Hebrew, it's zayin bet vav, or some spell it with a shin at the beginning. And thanks to Kagan for pointing out a great tshuva or article written by Rav, what's his name? Spitz? Yehuda Spitz. It's on the Or Sameach website, .edu. So there, so he discusses it. The tshuva and most of the Makoros are all talking about the zebu that started. The issue started about 75 years ago with the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael. That's more when it became discussed, and what's it called? But it's a similar shaila to bison. Again, it's not because bison or American buffalo, American bison, that also there's no real masoret in there. So here we're talking about animals. Okay, so yeah, here's the name. Okay, I'll just, out of order here, I'm just going to point out that for the Sephardic poskim, so they all say it's mutter, that's not an issue. I believe most of the Ashkenazi poskim also say it's kasher. Zebu. Zebu is basically similar to a cow, or it is a cow, depends how you want to define it, with a hump on its back. So it looks a little bit different, but they do breed together with cows. We're going to mention that. But Minchas Asher, he writes it's mutter. The Primagadim writes it's mutter of Herzog. I think the first or second. Excuse my ignorance, I'm chief, second, I think the second chief rabbi of Israel. So that is, yeah, the first Rav Kook, eh? Are he not chief rabbi of Palestine? Anyway, so technically the first one of Israel, I'm not sure, but okay. And so the Chazon Ish is the only one that I know that clearly says it's Aser. Said it's Aser. They said, they quote in the name of Rav El Yashiv, who says that it's good to be Machmer, those who follow the Chazon Ish, and anyone from Lita. If your family is from Lita, it's Ra'ui, it's good to be Machmer like the Chazon Ish. You're going to see why in a moment, because that's where who is from? The Chachmas Adam. Chai Adam, Chachmas Adam, same person. So therefore, it's because he was the Rav there who said it's, that's the Chazon Ish's interpretation, who said it's Aser. Okay, anyway, sorry, let me just point out the reasons. You'll understand that better if you review the end of yesterday's share. Now, what are the reasons why? Let's just give a short list of reasons why the Zebu is very possibly mutter, or the reasons why it should be a mutter. Okay. Number one, the whole reason of the whole basis of the problem why the Chazon Ish says it's a problem is because the Chazon Ish understood the Shach, who says you need to have a Masorah also for animals. Okay. Now, if you read, now, secondly, and the reasoning of the Shach, the words of the Shach we mentioned yesterday, already itself is not clear what the Shach meant. Okay. The Chai Adam, the Chochmas Adam, and the Arach HaShulchan are strict that you also need to have a Masoret, but they only say that by a Chaya. You can read it inside. They don't mention anything about a Behema. And the Shach was written in the Halachas of Chaya, nothing to do with a Behema, and they never went that way. And the Kaf HaChaim says the whole chumrah according to them is only for the issue of chaylev, not for eating the meat of the chaya.
To determine whether it's kosher or not,
you don't even need a masoret according to the Kaf HaChaim.
Whether it's a chaya or a behema, and therefore whether the chaylev is also a mutter, that you might need a
masoret. Right. So the Kaf HaChaim says even according to the Chochmas Adam and Arach HaShulchan, they're only mean it lagabe chaylev, not to irrelevant to a chaya. Okay. All right, and some point out the reason why, it's not a separate reason, but the reason why you'd be machmer by a chaya is because we don't want people to possibly eat a suffik chaya behema, and then they might end up being makel to eat the chaylev. So again, that's really all in the same. Okay. Other reasons to be, why is a zabu would be mutter is, there is a clear Masorah in other places in the world. I think it's a Yemen, Dafka. They did have a clear Masorah that a Zebu was kosher. So therefore, everything that we're learning, that we've just been learning in Dalit and Hay, some say that only applies to chickens, but it doesn't necessarily apply. But again, that's a whole other discussion. I'm just giving one sad. Another one is that it's, some say, a zebu is a cow. It's mamash a cow, lehalacha, and it's like a different breed. It's like you have dogs, you have different breeds among dogs. So that's another reason why it might be okay. Another reason, I have it as number six, probably should be number five. But anyways, it's because many have already been eating zebu. We kind of said this, but we said that by turkey. Many are already eating it, and many of your, for many years, I don't know exactly how many, but it's well established, and many of your tefillin and mezuzahs are written on zebluk klaf. You just may not realize it. And a klaf could only be on kosher, written on a kosher, skin of a kosher animal, right, in the hide. So therefore, it's really the same shaila. So you see that it's become minag Yisrael. So therefore, it's similar. Here I have it as number seven, just my numbers. So therefore, it's also, whatever you paskin like turkey, you should say by zebu. And again, okay. Then, number eight, that it could be that there's no minhag in Europe to say it's aser. They didn't know. The Kav HaChaim actually has an interesting thing. It's not so common. He says, you can have a city that has a minhag that it's aser. And so there, that's the halachas of Dalet and Hay. But let's say the city discovers, I mean, it's a little bit late for that, but if a city discovers a new animal, when the Shaila first comes up, the fact that they never had a Masorah either way, because they never discussed the animal. So that's not called a minhag le'asorah. It's just called you don't have a minhag at all. And this, because it was never discussed. So then he says, everybody holds, you could be Mekel. Even the Rosh, the Rashba, everybody. Anyways, that's just a little bit relevant here. He was talking about that by chickens. Number nine, that, like we said, by turkey, we already know for many years. So some say you only need a masoret. It's a little technical. You may or may not like it, but you only need a masoret if it's something new to you, something that you've been studying and watching and seeing that it follows the simanim and it's been there for years. So then the whole concept of needing a masorah is no longer needed anymore. That's just one thing I've seen. And most of what I've seen is pieces here and there, but most of it is from that article from Gershon and the tshuva itself by Minchas Asher. It quotes a lot. It's brought down on Parshat Shemini. And then finally, they interbreed with cows. So once you know that it interbreeds with cows and you know cow is kosher, by definition, now you know it's kosher. Fine. Let's just, one last thing. What's our time issue here? We're done. I'm just going to, real quick. Anyway, so we said the buffalo is similar. One last interesting thing is the giraffe. So, is the giraffe kosher? So, it has nothing to do with the neck. The makom shechita we learned is not a problem. Everyone points out. A cow, you're given about 12 inches a foot. That's your range on the neck. It's pretty good, right? And how about a giraffe? You have about 6 feet to get. So, there's no halacha, there's no issue whatsoever regarding that. The one bigger issue is, the question is, similar to the zabud, is you need a masorah. Now, a chaya, a giraffe, is probably a chaya, which we discovered. So therefore, that makes a little bit more of an issue. Again, just similar topic to the zabu. Just technically, it's difficult to restrain. One kick of a giraffe can kill a lion. So you got to be very careful. It's expensive, exotic, whatever, so it's just not, it's less practical. But as far as the masorah, by the way, could be we do have a masorah. So some say we do, some say we don't. Rashi and Ibn Ezra say we don't know what a zamer is. It's in the pasuk, a zamer. So, but Rav Sadia Gaon, Radak, Rabbeinu Yona, and Targum Shivim, they all say, we know it's in the pasuk that it says it's a kosher chaya, and that's our giraffe. So it's questionable if our giraffe has a masorah or not. If you need one, right? That's the whole thing we spoke about. Just out of interest, Rav Zivotofsky quoted Rabbi Yosef Kapach, Yemenite. Is there any issue with shechting a giraffe? And he said the only issue, it might be about tashchis, because it's like $10,000 a kilo. That's how he quotes it. But on Eish, they say it's more like $100 a pound. So it's not so practical. Okay. Oh, yeah.